Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our regular Wednesday stream.
Hello.
We're back.
We're back again.
We tend to be back. Thank you to everyone who tuned in on Monday. It was a rather productive stream.
I believe so. It seems a lot of people not only watched it live, but also watched it back. And it's for a stream that's not had a big guest, it's actually done very well views-wise for us. And there's a lot of feedback of the usual, like, this is blackpilling, very good stream.
Yes.
Which I like to see. I suppose, and this is something we kind of discussed a little bit earlier on, won't be a massive sidetrack, but we have a tendency to just sort of off-the-cuff refer to things that people sort of forget that we take as givens sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's certain things we'll just kind of skim over and I'll get DMs of people going, what? I didn't know that was true. Because we've somewhat built up our own little internal canon here.
I still remember one of the ones a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned the bloop at the end of, I think that was with the Semiogog stream.
Yes.
And somebody in the comments was like, just been on like a 6-hour bloop rabbit hole, thanks.
They looking at the bloop.
Oh no, we've got scrump waves in the chat.
Yeah, I am request. Actually going to make something, possibly as a bit of an outro. I'll test it on the channel, see if people like it. But the scrump wave is actually coming. I've been making bits of it. No, not really. No, but following on from our kind of deglobalization and on our theme of, I guess, controlled demolition in a way, but also just, like, the pragmatic reality that we are running out of things and skilled people.
I think, I'll get back to that. I will first, however, thank the people who turn up to the streams.
Yes.
Even more so those who support us either by being channel members or by donating via super stickers and super chats, or donating straight to us on the PayPal, which we will attempt to read out whether you want to or not. It'd be nice to mention in your comments if you are going to donate to there, whether you are happy being doxxed or not.
Oh, no, I'll just do, like, first name initial.
Yeah, no, I suppose that's a good way to do it.
So I will not be doxxed.
I will also say that people can, if they choose to, support us on Substack. I'm seeing a couple more people do that. Someone last night actually bought one of, like, the $50 upgrade thing, so whoever you are, thank you. You've just bought like 2 pouches of tobacco.
Yes.
That'll keep me going for a wee while. And then, you know, we say it because we're afraid it's just true. If you don't interact with the things and you just sit and sort of watch them passively, it will not be shared to other people.
I'm afraid the algorithm gods will hide us from you and we will not be little gremlins in your little machine.
But yes.
Hello, we inside your phone and our computer.
Hello, all my little GCHQ gremlin friends.
We ain't far away, we're actually in there. Don't shake it, please.
Yeah. No. Stop rattling us around.
That's a great one.
I hate seeing up your nose hairs.
Yeah, there's small people in my phone. They're very based.
I'm low. Yes. I suppose we could probably start with the same little snippet I started the stream with last time, that throughout several centuries now, man has used both technique and technology as an expression of technique to essentially alleviate discomfort, finality, and ultimately the course of history.
Yes.
Both within individual lives and man as a whole. And that makes you dependent on technology and technique, especially as you become more and more normalised to the fact that that's just the given way of engaging in anything. So we can take this, and we can also take the fact that we know the sovereign is he who declares the exception,
yes,
or decides on the exception, as it were, and suggest that, well, if you were to fabricate or be handed over somebody else's work in terms of a society that's very technologically dependent, that requires all sorts of different complex specialized tasks all to work at the same time.
Yes.
And not just at the same time, but at the right time. And all these things have to work together for everything to sort of just function normally. When things start to collapse, the problem becomes exponentially worse.
It becomes compounding. It becomes, as I talk about in here, a negative spiral. This stream will be a companion to a Substack piece I put out. Don't worry, we're not just going to be going through reading one of our Substack pieces. we'll be skimming over a lot of the stuff that's mentioned in there, because that is quite specific to some of the engineering things. Mm. Although there will be some crosstalk with it, but this will be more of a wider discussion on the problem. Before we go any further, I will quickly also, I know we show it every time, but I will show the fact that we are doing live events still. If you are in the UK and you want to come see us on the 27th of May in Manchester City Centre, please do so. Tickets are only £35, and that does include a complete evening in a private booked-out room, and also a hot buffet, canapés, dessert canapés, and a private bar, and all that stuff. So if you guys want to come say hi, please do. But that's quite enough shilling for now. But no, I think it's good to have some kind of... A lot of people prefer the video format, and they also prefer having kind of written notes as well. We usually do it the other way around. We usually do a stream, and then we'll turn it into a Substack piece.
Mm.
But this is kind of a Substack piece that I feel has so much in it that it does really need to be a stream as well, because there's a lot of a wider discussion around it. The starting point, kind of the germ of all of this, really, in terms of the idea, was the shocking, really, tech illiteracy that is born out in aggregate, but also that I have witnessed personally. This is a piece from 2019 from the Washington Post. I believe that things have only got worse, as they tend to do, and this effect has only got more profound.
Yes.
But the idea being put forward that bears out in reality for me, especially with trying to hire younger people where I work and where I have worked, you know, with previous employers, they do not have extremely basic technological skills you would expect.
Oh, yeah, the sort of things that were a given for being able to do basic administrative tasks and computer functions, say 10 or 15 years ago, are now completely devoid. Like, who the hell knows how to use the command prompt anymore?
Well, it's not just that. It's as simple as you'll get 18, 19-year-olds who go to university, and they'll be told to use the file system there, and they won't know what folders are.
Yes.
They won't know what file extensions are. They won't know what an executable is. It's things as really as elementary as that.
I also, if I distinctly remember, a line I inserted into your article from reading the headline of this, just the linguistics of digital natives.
Yes.
Like, if you're a Zoomer, you are not born in a nation. You are born online.
Yeah, that's true. You are born in a weird conglomerate cyberspace. It's the thing that a lot of people thought that recorded music would make people more musically literate. But actually, what it did, it removed the necessity for people to play music. And that's why we don't have pub pianos anymore. It's something I was thinking about earlier. But it's one of those things that as technology progresses, so does learned helplessness.
Yes.
We're going to be talking in this somewhat.
I think really in hindsight, we probably should have got a couple of snippets of Ted Kaye for this, but everyone knows where the manifesto is and they are free to read it in their own time.
We've talked about learned helplessness kind of extensively in some of our other streams and in some of our other work. If you don't know what learned helplessness is and you're not aware of the of
go
the
back
work,
to some of the very first posts on the Substack.
Yes. I'm afraid that we will be assuming some prior knowledge and referencing things like learned helplessness and the wider concepts that go with the reliance on the technological society. But we're really seeing now a lot of the things that Kaczynski talked about back in the early 90s and before, really, borne out in reality.
But you could look at it this way. The people who worked in a mill in 1880 and learned to function with it would have been able to operate it just as well as their parents or grandparents in 1860 or 1840. Obviously, maybe not perfect because some of the tools might be different, but
yeah,
an office full of Zoomers could not function 90s tech in a 90s office and do basic administrative tasks.
No, they could not. Another point, again, I'll skim over it somewhat because it is explored more heavily in the Substack piece, is the fact that Gen Z seems to have lost a lot of skills that we took for granted because of the changes in communication. In, quote-unquote, the wider world, people don't actually speak that much on the phone to each other.
No.
People don't especially talk in kind of an official manner. There's very little communication with governments, with banks, with general customer service by younger people. It's all done by a text support chat, and, or it's done via videos.
The other side of that, of course, is that there is then no demand for people to have those skills on the phone. So the very few people left in positions that do communicate on the phone like that also lower their standards. And I think lockdown basically sold the deal for that. I can remember being on the phone to someone to try and book an appointment.
Yeah.
For the NHL, like confirm an appointment for some scan on the NHS. And the woman was obviously working from home. Yeah. Where, like, her kids screaming in the background. And, like, you're sitting there trying to hand over this, like, 12-digit code to her. And it's like, well, it's like A53.
There's kids screaming in the background.
Oh, could you repeat that again?
It's so awful. That's part of it, really, is part of the loss of professionalism in general, really, and the loss of skills that we took for granted has been quite alarming. And like I said, it's been quite alarming from a personal perspective in having people who have come into jobs and junior roles that I've worked with or, you know, even directly worked for me, and they are unable to do certain tasks that we take for granted. And basically it precludes them immediately from being able to do that job. I don't have time, and a company, especially a smaller or medium-sized company that's not, you know, a huge infinite money pit conglomerate, does not have the time, the resources, and really isn't set up to do something like teach phone skills to borderline verbally illiterate Zoomers.
Well, I think that literacy goes across everything, because I take for granted at times how, you know, not to big myself up, but how proficiently I can write about very complex topics.
Yes.
Like, imagine given, you know, 10 random Zoomers on the street, like, a James Burnham book or an essay from Carl Schmitt, and be like, well, you know, take that, understand it, and then explain to me the concept and a context not directly given in the text itself.
Yes.
Never mind, you know, the actually getting the thoughts into the words. They would hit so many hurdles just trying to read the text in the first place.
There is some jarring stuff. Someone mentioned things like service economy skills, or just I've been to public information desks when I've been on a job somewhere to try and find something, and I found, you know, someone sat there who's like a 22, 23 year old who does not have the prerequisite communication skills to tell you where something is. And it's just things like that that are actually quite frankly shocking when you encounter somebody who cannot pass information to you in a verbal manner, but isn't a job that requires it. It's something that I, you know, I'm old enough now that it's not just the fact that I've become an adult and realized that other adults are a little bit stupid. I've been an adult long enough to have witnessed this decline. Because even having, you know, having been a teenager and lacked it myself, generally people in the kind of customer service area would be helpful and patient, at least to some degree.
I mean, I even noticed this between, say, people from my generation of, like, and I'm going to get, like, really specific with years here, but, like, 97 to 2001 compared to people from, like, 2002 to 2005.
Yeah.
Because the likelihood that they engaged in prepubescent socialization online is so much higher, and that instantly ruins any level of decorum that you would otherwise develop.
Yes, it does. But it's also in a large part due to the failure of focus of the education system. Well, failure from a skills point of view. One of the speeches I gave at our NOMOS events, I think I've just already shared that, but my speech at NOMOS Birmingham was called Where Are the New Elite? And a large part of it, I did a little bit of audience participation in it, in which I got people to raise their hands if they had a degree, and then keep them raised if they worked in the subject area of what that degree was. And there was maybe two hands still up. It's really an elucidation of the fact that the education system, especially post-1945, the mass public, no child left behind Western education system, is geared towards socializing you to be able to exist within a managerial state.
Yeah,
it doesn't teach you skills.
There's like the original Enlightenment route of education, which is this notion that everyone can be brought up to the level of civility and actually become rationalized, enlightened people that have dealt away with all the myths and suspicions of pre-modern man. And this completely falls on its face by about the 1920s. And as you say, we get to this point whereby at some point in the 60s or 70s you have complex studies of education, which are really roundabout way to just say, well, we're going to at least use education to make sure that these people are sociable and that they don't just become complete barbarians within our own society and become uncivilized. And even that is failing now due to possibly alien populations in a large part, and that you now have like a sort of Zoomer class of like mutt barbarians who not even like refuse to be educated because that's the white man and that's the wrong stuff. They actually can't.
You witness quite a lot of frustration with those people. It's very sad in that some of them do genuinely express intellectual curiosity, but are not given the avenues with which to explore it.
Mm.
You do get kind of that top percent. Basically, everyone is brought down to the same level because of there's many layers of it too. There's the naive version of Western education, which is that everyone is allowed to explore themselves and become a well-informed, well-adjusted graduate. But of course, that isn't true. That isn't true. But a lot of the leftist critique is that the education system's about turning you into an economic unit, man.
There was a great one floating around on Twitter, seeing as how we've been watching a bit of X-Files recently.
Yeah.
And like, Scully's like, oh, well, it seems to be that racism and lack of funding is the reason for the poor performance in schools. And it's like, well, au contraire, Scully.
Yeah.
If you check the data, you'll find that it's $29,400 per Chicago public school student every year.
You know, the Baltimore, I've got a slide about this later, but the Baltimore school system, the Chicago school system, the failing school systems are the ones that attract the most money.
Mm.
Therefore, education is that you're actually incentivized to be failing. You are incentivized to create, as with all public services, we get the Austrian school coming back in here. And again, this is why the Austrian stuff is so important.
I see someone in chat being looking forward to future articles painting literacy as whiteness. Didn't we have those in like 2015?
We had those in the 90s.
And this is also true. We'll get to cracker runes in a bit.
Yeah, we will get to the cracker runes in a little bit.
And also he's correct in saying literacy is also actually whiteness. Like the leftists are true when they say this.
Oh, it's the point. It's,
civilization is in... communicable.
Well, tell you what, I'll put the slide up now, because this is just, you know, school system spending. This really is the point of this section.
Should we go through like a sort of Benny Hill style montage of failing?
Oh, we will do in a second. There's just one other point I want to make here, which really is that the point of the education system isn't even to turn you into a good barista.
Yeah.
Because they teach you to do
it. It's just to stop you being a criminal.
You would go into a simulated... Like, imagine schools where you went into simulated retail environments.
Yeah.
They would actually be much more useful. But that's not what happens. You don't go to barista school. You don't go to, you know, chef school even anymore. You know, people don't even go to machine shop school, which is a big problem. They are simply socialized. It is a socialization exercise to prepare you.
And even then, it does not work.
It does not work. To prepare you to exist within the managerial state. And something else we'll talk about as it goes on, it acts as a filter. It is a compliance filter to maverick people who could become new elites.
Yes.
That is another area. That is what the university system especially is.
That's the reason why I'm not doing a master's or a doctorate in economics or politics or anything like that. Because I basically barely got my degree finished and the whole institution decided to excise me and declare, and aside from that, also declare that any way I wanted to approach the subject of economics wasn't proper.
Well, it's the push and pull of skilled people who are intelligent and are able to become somewhat independently wealthy are much more difficult to control, especially if they have a maverick streak or are genuinely outside of the normal kind of mental zeitgeist of things.
Well, you've also kind of got the problem as well there that at some point you can sort of make the economics argument that people will put aside either on the face of it, pure moral values, or more maybe subtly sort of social mores. Oh, well, you know, MAGA people are bad, but the only people left that will fix my plumbing when my house is flooding at 2 a.m. are MAGA people.
Yeah.
At some point, that becomes too much, and there's a marginal difference there, and you pick one over the other. So as you say, that your ability to be an outlier socially is made so much easier if you have such a highly demanded specialised skill.
Yeah, Alfred the Great, learn AutoCAD. AutoCAD's actually partially on its way out. Learn SolidWorks, learn things like Revit if you want to be in the construction industry.
But also maybe learn how to put a fire together without
tools. Yeah, learn how to work a lathe and learn what a mill is and things like learn things like feed rates and tool paths. Like, there's all kinds of things like that that I was educated in. That not many people know, and I get offered all kinds of bizarre jobs that I'm not actually qualified for because I have the educational equivalent of a 16-year-old in the 1960s who went through an English engineering apprenticeship.
Mm.
And the skills lack, as we'll get to in those areas, is beyond troubling. It is beyond shocking. It is almost too much to take in from an abstract point of view, but witnessing firsthand, that is genuinely disquieting.
And you would be as distressed as Tony Blair is in this image.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is possibly one of the most distressed Blair images that actually
exists. It's hard
exists.
To find distress. When I found this image, I had to
It's also
it.
Like an all-white classroom.
Oh my God, and yeah, the 90s. Again, this is why Return to Fresh Prince would be so effective. But we're not getting Return to Fresh Prince. We can just do, like you said, kind of a bit of a montage. Well, there was a famous incident in the last year in which California decided to eliminate algebra from its curriculum and delayed it a year, basically.
Yeah. Frustrated by high failure rates in 8th grade algebra, San Francisco Unified decided in 2015... to delay algebra till 9th grade and place low average and high achievers in the same classes. The goal was to improve achievement for Black and Hispanic students preparing for advanced math.
This didn't happen because civilization is incommunicable. It's all of this stuff, it's reality reasserting itself. And I would say that there is not a genuine belief that these people could be educated. The way to look at this is the deliberate creation of an underclass. But the issue that the managerial class has in doing that is eventually they will run out of skilled people. They just will. But they can't brook skilled people. It's it's the push and pull of all of this, in that it makes sense for them to limit the skills of the population, to enhance the learned helplessness, as has been done over the last 100 years. Maybe we don't have enough time in this to bring in the technology stuff. Maybe we'll do just a stream at some point on learned helplessness and the non-neutral effects of technology.
Yes.
Maybe we should just do technology isn't neutral.
Well, no, it perfectly lines up, though. I mean, you could even apply it to here. Maths is hard.
Yeah.
Mathematics and understanding mathematics requires suffering.
Image. Yeah.
If you are a good humanist and you believe in anti-racism, you will not want to put people through the struggle that is learning mathematics. Ergo, you don't teach them it because that's better for them. And it's progress because they're not suffering.
James Ritter asks, when do we see skyscrapers fall in San Francisco? When they relax
not soon enough.
Yeah, when they relax the planning laws, because you can't build a dentist office in San Francisco because of the zoning trap. It's quite hilarious. We went through some of that when we talked about the last gun shop in San Francisco. Do check out that stream if you're curious about some of the hilarious aspects.
Yeah, Harry
San
G-Man's
Francisco.
Got it in chat as well, and it is something we will maybe return to in a more full-length kind of view. If you start with the assumption that man is good, it is the only way you can get to the conclusion that technology is good. Technology is an extension of man, who we know is by necessity always bad.
California in general is doing efforts to make math more accessible, but it's the negative cycle of achievement becomes lower They move down the boundary for achievement. They
and then people still don't make the barrier.
And then they don't make it. They move the barrier down, so achievement becomes lower, so learning becomes lower. Basically, the educational outcomes of No Child Left Behind means that everybody is educated like they are a 60 IQ Baltimore crack baby. And you end up with a population that at the age of 18 has the mental training of a 60 IQ Baltimore crack baby.
I've experienced this here. And it's something that maybe, again, we could treat more properly in a stream because I could rant about it forever. I apply for jobs, and quite a number of them, locally. You know, shop staff, working on floors, you know, working at tills. And I am university educated. I have a degree in economics, and I cannot get employed for these jobs. But brown women who rocked up on the shores a couple of months ago, who can't count. I mean, they do the whole carrying 10 of each coin in their hands and then counting off with a number in front of them on the till so that they can make sure they get the change right. They can't actually count as we would recognise it.
Well, this is the New Yorker going through, like, the maths framework, and they're trying to make it more accessible, but they're really watering it. They're basically saying gently, this is going to make them stupider, I'm sorry. But at the end, they talk about Finland. And Finland has all these great educational outcomes without standardized. It's because they're a rural, low population density, homogenous, effectively Finnish ethnostate. Like, Finland, compared to the United States, is a closed-off, oil-rich, sparsely populated ethnostate.
And that, I do like the... That's eventually, every teacher had to earn a graduate degree in order to teach, which the state paid for. That was an experiment that worked, except in Scotland.
Yeah, or in England.
England, you don't need a degree to be a teacher.
You do now.
But in the same way, though, they brought that standard in Scotland in, let's say, about 2000 and whenever. But since the 2010s, at least, the quality of education in Scotland has depreciated massively. To the point now where it is one of the most illiterate countries in Western Europe.
Yes, it is, unfortunately. But that's California. Here we have LA Times. California test scores show deep pandemic drops. 2 in 3 students don't meet math standards. So what they're saying here is 66% of California students don't do maths, even to the lowest standard, at a grade level, what they consider a grade level. So 66% are effectively below average or failing.
I'm presuming that would be basic, like, times table division.
Yes. They ain't even doing A plus B equals C no more. These people be counting on their fingers and toes.
And the thing we've got to consider as well is that, okay, it's this bad in America, but this is only just going to happen here ever more so in the coming years.
It's hidden by design, by the way, the testing works and all
that. Karen D'Souza, do you reckon that's of any relation?
Possibly. The juking of stats, the teaching of tests, the narrowing of education, all of these things are known.
They be counting on their fingers.
It really is like The Wire. You'll try and teach them, you know, train approaching XYZ, you know, car approaching ABC, and then someone will get stabbed for looking at someone wrong, and you'll not be able to teach for a few days. That is the reality of the American education system.
What's the thing? Decades of underinvestment in skills, cultural battles over bilingual education, and stark income equality have made California the least literate state in the nation.
It's because they all be beaners nearly who speak
the
Spanish.
Nearly 1 in 4 people over the age of 15 lack the skills to decipher the words in this sentence. Only 77% of adults are considered mid to highly literate, according to the non-partisan data crunchers at World Population Review. And I bet you that's an optimistic number.
In New Hampshire, the most literate state in the country, only 5 out of 100 people lack English reading and writing skills. Its literacy rate hovers near 95%.
What do you think its demographic percentage in population is?
Let's talk about the demographics.
Teddy, you stay there. I'll get that going.
Oh, we've got a nice donation there. Thank you, Ivan Grozny. I get the reference. I've always assumed my son would be awesome at typing, but he just uses voice to text. I just figured it's only a matter of time, but now I'm not so sure. Yeah,
Whoa, voice to text.
Voice to text is also really bad.
Yeah, What sort of bizarre, like, corporate global homo accent does your son have where that works?
Well, the problem as well with voice-to-text is you don't speak like you type, and you very, very consciously have to type not in a conversational way sometimes.
Yeah, according to 2023 statistics, New Hampshire is 91.98% white and 2.7% Asian.
Well, that explains it. Well, I don't want to just turn this into a Demography is Destiny stream, but that's what
I just
all
thought
of this
that
is
was just funny. Yeah. Why not?
Not a single student can do math at grade level in 53 Illinois schools. For reading, it's 30 schools. Damning report reveals there are no students proficient in either math or reading at 60 different public schools in Illinois. I think that was a further examination on that one, so the number went up. So, like, 60 different public schools has nobody reading or doing maths at a grade level. They are not considered proficient. As we'll see, once again, I'll put this up. Illinois actually, I believe, has the highest educational budget in the Midwest. They spend, on average, I believe, $17,000 on each student, far more than other states that perform a lot higher. The rural states that are generally, especially the northern rural states, you know, your North Dakotas, tend to get really shafted with educational budgets, and yet still achieve for some unknown reason. Parents left unaware of stunning illiteracy at Baltimore Public High School. 77% of students at Baltimore High School are reading at an elementary school level. So this is 16-year-olds reading like 10-year-olds.
No, this is 16-year-olds reading probably like 5-year-olds, let's be honest.
I'm being generous. I'm rounding up. But yeah, another one. More than 75%.
They can't read. They hungry, hungry caterpillar.
More than 75% test at elementary level in math and reading at Baltimore High School. I believe that's the same one. And this one I just love. This is from the Texas Public Radio. What students lost since cursive writing was cut from Common Core. Common Core is a subject we don't really have time to get into. It is basically the American attempt at doing the whole English national curriculum thing. So they've attempted to create a national syllabus, but cursive, for those who don't know, is just joined up writing. Or if you are part of the Trayvon Martin trial, cracker runes. There's that great anecdote where the star witness for the state apparently wrote a statement herself that was presented in the court. She was asked to read it and then confessed she couldn't read cursive. And it's rumored that, I don't know, it's a 4chan thing, but that 4chan just went around calling joined up writing cursive cracker runes because black people can't decipher it. But it's a huge thing in America that a large amount of Americans cannot read or write in a joined up fashion. It is huge, hugely widespread. I'm sure some Americans can testify to that.
Imagine what it's like in like a Southeast London school handwriting class in like primary 6 or 7 is like now.
This is the talent pool that people are pulling from. These are supposed to be our future diversity engineers.
And these are our future Trayvon Martins.
Yes, they are.
If Trayvon was my son.
Cursive. Is that a Muslim country? It's basically getting very, if only you knew how bad things really are. But yes, they are stopping teaching cursive. We are on constant collapse watch now. It now goes behind you, yes. It no longer covers you up, the collapse watch. So that's a good thing.
It's like the wee black bar that comes up though. Oh, that's part of the banner.
Yes. I did it so it wouldn't just look monolithic. Also, there's like, it's very New Britain, but in America, you're somehow getting New Britain over there too. Full spectrum Anglo dominance, I guess.
Someone has made the point of Dr. Tyrone Mofungo. I did see that one on Twitter the other day that was like a TikTok of like a massive graduating class of doctors from some American medical school, and it's like all Lizzos and black dudes. And it's not good.
Well,
These are the people performing your life-saving operations.
and by the way, these educational trends are borne out in basically all of the Anglosphere and all of the Western world that's attempting to do the whole
This is,
diverse society thing.
see, as scary as that is, that
Yeah.
like, they can't teach the brown people maths, this is all the more worrying to me.
It's about to get worse.
Shit, buckle up. I mean,
Buckle up, buckaroos. I mean, illiterate kids in the inner city, passe.
who cares?
1980s. Who cares?
But what if, what was it? I think the statistic you used in your original article was that the average age of an engineer in Britain was something like 58?
It varies, but
It's 54, it
it is
says in here.
54, yes. The average age of an engineer in Britain, as is shown here, is 54.
This is according to 2016 statistics.
Yeah.
So you could probably just say these people are 60. I would imagine.
Well, a lot of them don't exist anymore. The average age may have reduced slightly, but that's just because we have less skilled engineers. This is part of kind of the engineering section. It's what I've witnessed personally. I've personally seen entire engineering teams made up of people who are in their 50s and 60s. I've witnessed workplaces collapse, literally collapse, as in go out of business, because a large amount of their engineers retired or died in some cases. I've had in my time in engineering a large amount of workplace deaths of natural causes. People still working in their 70s, people still working nearing their 80s in some cases. And it's very common that you will find a workplace in an engineering field where the leadership is all 50 plus. The reasons for that, again, I get into somewhat in the article. I don't want to go over them too much here. There was a complete dearth of apprenticeships. There's very little time to train
Well,
people.
there is also just a complete sort of erosion of the kind of culture of
Yeah.
here's what your father did, and here's what his father did, and here's what his father did, so
Yeah.
that's what you'll do.
People do not have trades.
No.
And that the death of the trade system, the death of the apprenticeship system, all of that stuff in Britain especially has led to a massive collapse
So
in the
has
engineering
the
base.
relationship between employee and employer. I
Yes.
would imagine many of your people who are these engineers in their 50s or 60s now, maybe not necessarily all of them, but most of them will have spent the largest part of their tenure at one organization. An organization who they will know the higher ups and the other people involved very well.
Yeah.
Whereas the situation you've kind of been in is, well, everything's so up in the air and everything else is so vertically integrated that companies pop up and go down within 6 months sometimes. So you're never actually able to get that kind of
No.
10, 15, 20 years in a workplace where you would not only want to support and represent it to younger people, but also possibly within your own family.
Within the non-glamorous engineering areas, there has been an insane drop in skill level to the point that things cannot be done with certain types of engineering anymore. The example I always give people, it's not the area I work in, but the maintenance, commissioning, design, and certification of large pressure vessels, which are extremely important. If you want basically to earn infinite money, become competent with industrial pressure vessels. It's not exactly we've got a plumber shortage
Yeah,
specific, but
it's not like we're gonna no longer be using large trains or lorries or big boats. Unless things are gonna get proper scary collapse.
yeah.
These are things that will continue to be used, serviced, and remanufactured. So, as you're saying, things like pressure vessels or complex bits of electronic engineering, like radar systems, or so something that takes you a decade or so even to just wrap your head around fully.
Yeah.
These are things that people, one, do not do now, and two, will be even more required in future because of that.
Well, just the statistic speaks for itself. Average age of British engineers, 54. That was of 2016. The lockdowns sparked early retirement boom as 3 in 5 over 50s leave the workforce. So that 2016 number, all those engineers who were 55 then, who were, in their, getting towards 60 now, they're all gone. They're already gone, and the people who are in their 40s, now pushing into their 50s, are the generation that's having to take over. It is a massive negative cycle, and it is literally leading to the collapse of many British industries.
I see Kate in the chat mentioning sort of diversity quotas. I maybe not the best place to mention it, but for the sake of not forgetting it, I actually believe some of the focus on diversity quotas when it comes to this stuff is a bit of a...
It's a bit of a cover.
Is a misdirection.
Yes.
You know, I tweeted about it the other week, you know, don't think about whether or not driving hundreds of tons of train with all sorts of dangerous chemicals on it at high speed through populated towns and cities is on the face of it a bad idea. Look at the black train conductors.
Well, it's a way of justifying hiring lower quality candidates. It's the other,
but it excuses the inherent problem in the system. You know, don't look at the fact that fiat finance and debt-based financing, on the face of it, is a failure waiting to happen. Look at the tranny guy that works at Credit Suisse.
They're having to do this as an arbitration process because, as we'll get to later, there's a bit more of a discussion to have. I'll try and rocket through more of this more quickly so we can get to it. But the issue is that the diversity is the cart, not the horse.
Yes.
The horse is the fact that we don't have skilled people. The horse is the fact that they can't fill these jobs in aggregate. So they're justifying the fact that they're going to be filled by unskilled immigrants as a way of excusing the fact that they are.
Well, as I said, the horse isn't even so much that we don't have skilled people. It's that the dearth of skilled people is a consequence of the fact that we have a complex technological society based on debt-based financed and utopian sort of ideals of infinite growth.
Well, this is from an engineering blog called Metalis, and it's just called Why is the Engineering Industry Facing a Shortage of Skilled Workers? And it goes through the fact that as many as 85% of firms notice the impact of the engineering skills gap. More than 200,000 construction engineers have left the sector since the start of the pandemic. Almost 50% were aged 45 to 55. And I mentioned the other 50% were retirees. So this, again, is noting the fact that...
A report by engineering and project management consultancy Atkin suggests it could take as long as 50 years to match BAME employment levels in other sectors. People with disabilities aren't getting access to engineering work. Recent stats show that STEM industries employ 75% fewer people with registered disabilities compared with other industries. Women are not represented in engineering compared to other sectors. Yes. To engage in highly specialised and also sometimes physical work, you need Western Faustian men. This is just the nature of the beast.
This is the excuse, but part of the arbitration. And as we'll get to, the arbitration is quite important because you can't have the upper echelons of all technical work effectively looking like an ethno-state because those people get wise and they take over.
Yeah.
That's the real kind of push and pull is that there aren't enough skilled people. There aren't enough skilled, even, you know, white people to fill these jobs, never mind trying to get rid of them for unskilled brown people or women. And the arbitration process falls down in UK engineering because you just have to fill the jobs with who's there. There are more jobs. If there was a brown person who could do it, they'd hire the brown person, but they ain't.
The closest they get is people from India with fake degrees.
I went for a lot of job interviews for my last position, and basically everywhere I went said, we would hire three of you if we could.
We better get to start cloning you then, eh?
No, I don't want to be the clone.
Me and Jess are going to have a riveting John factory.
I don't want to be the clone. It's hilarious. Again, this is from Australia. Call to support female engineers to avoid mass shortage. There, again... cart before horse, because they can't just admit that there is an inherent shortage.
I see, this is getting too much for some people in chat. Yeah. They're just being, I miss Panama.
He'll be back on at some point, don't you worry. He'll be back on, actually,
next week.
Yes, to talk about Tony Soprano. Look out for that. It's going to be great. Going to make all the memes. Call to support female engineers to avoid mass shortage. All of this being couched in therapeutic terms is quite deliberate because they cannot admit the reality.
Women need to see role models in engineering, otherwise they won't understand that they can do it because they really function like monkey see, monkey do.
They're desperate to materialize the rhetoric into reality. The people at the upper echelons know that this doesn't work. They have the information. but they have to keep trying because they can't admit that all of this has failed. Yes, it does have a negative impact, as we'll go into. Yes, there is a large amount of deliberate shafting of skilled native men in Britain and skilled, you know, older white men in America, because, like I said, they can't be allowed to control all the technical levers of power. There has to be an arbitration process. They have to be put in their place because they are so powerful. I'm currently writing something just entirely, you don't need more people, you need better people, about the fact that the physical labor adjacent technical class, the people who actually do keep the lights on, are the elite in waiting. And there may be at some point, like, the rule of the industrialist and the engineer just wrestling the machine off people who can no longer work it.
Mm.
You, as you've said before, there is no such thing as a technically incompetent elite in a technical society.
Because someone else will come along.
You either no longer have a technical society, or you they are no longer the elite.
Mm.
And the latter is much more likely. That is the real point here. What's the tipping point where the minority working class can't support a contingent worth of mediocre, unemployable people? Well, we're reaching it. As you can see with the mass inflation and all of that, we'll get into, that's one of the stems at the end, we'll get into the idea of the rebranding of economic inactivity, in quotes, from unemployment. We used to class people who didn't have a job as an employee. We don't do that anymore. That's why unemployment figures, despite everything collapsing us on paper, so low.
Because as long as you do some element of job seeking or...
as long as you don't. As long as you've dropped out of the system no longer recognizes you.
Mm.
In many areas, up to more than 50% of people who are over 18 and below 65 are economically inactive, in quotes. But only 5% of them will be considered as unemployed. But that's an aside. Another one here, new civil engineer. Why the UK engineering sector needs overseas workers?
By Dahlia Sklar.
There is this fantasy that you can just import the skilled brown, especially Indians.
But wait, look, what's her position there? Dahlia Sklar is chief executive and UK immigration solicitor.
Well, we found her incentives.
So how are you even allowed to write an article like this? That's like some sort of just blatant advertising for your own services.
Well, they talk about IR35 regulation, which I might get into for a second.
I also see 2030 at the bottom there.
Yeah, IR35 is a piece of legislation you may not have heard of, but is one of the deliberate methods the UK government is killing the idea of being an independent contractor. They have deliberately made it economically unviable to work for yourself. IR35 is part of that. Look up, if you are interested in the deliberate collapse of the UK economy, IR35 and the surrounding controversy, because it is very obvious that this is very, very deliberate. But this is the sentiment in some areas. Quite honestly, I don't actually see it said very often, because a lot of people have realized that, you know, skilled civil engineers don't come from India.
Was that article also in some ways her basically just admitting the fact that, like, yes, by bringing in IR35 regulations, we have made it basically impossible to employ engineers in the UK?
Yes. But there's a lot of cope about, and a lot of genuine, I think, held belief by the less in reality elites that they have an infinite supply of skilled people to replace those not being trained, and that they'll be able to use those skilled foreigners as a mitigation and arbitration method. They are desperate, as you can see with all the Indians being placed in the UK government, to have an elite class that is not made up of native people, but they are running out of competency in doing so. There's an article here from 2018 by the BBC talking about Pakistani degree mills, and there is a massive trade in the UK of fake degrees. The simple fact is, and I know this from being part of hiring discussions, you cannot trust non-UK qualifications. Even places like Germany and France, you struggle to verify them. If you are looking for somebody who you want to 100% verify has the qualifications they say they do, You have to be in the same country. Yeah, it doesn't work.
I can't remember if I've mentioned it before or not, but a friend of mine's mother was working in a lot of old people's homes in Scotland.
Yeah.
And they started having essentially West African men show up and take the jobs there.
Mm.
Obviously because they were getting paid less for them. Now, in theory, these people are turning up with qualifications and, of course, because they're in a healthcare position, are also going through background checks.
Yes.
Which is why one of the West African men who started working there was able to work there for years and abused a number of people before it turned out that actually he'd raped several people in Germany and basically skipped bail to come to Britain. And the background checks that they ran on this man who they knew was an immigrant and they knew who came from Germany, they just happened to never find this stuff.
Well, there's a great case study in attempting to import a technical class, and that is Saudi Arabia. Because Saudi Arabia, like many of the oil-rich states, has attempted to undertake mega-projects and a mass industrialization and mass kind of scale of touristization as well. But this is back in 2014. Saudi Arabia collars 30,000 fake engineers. Council of Engineers urge firms to employ registered professionals. It is a huge and long-running problem. Here's another one from 2022. Fake degrees abound in the kingdom. Issuance of fake degrees has become a universal dilemma and needs to end. What happens is when you have massive market demand for skills that do not exist, people simply lie. And you end up with large amounts of wholly incompetent people in positions of technical power.
Indian news is wild. Is the Arctic the next Ukraine? Sorry. I couldn't not see that there.
Well, there's a lot of Indians who go and try and work in places like, especially Muslim Indians who go and try and work in places like Saudi, because it's seen as an easy way to make a lot of money.
Mm.
But the Saudis, the Emirates, all of that stuff, the golden age really has come to an end because they are now paranoid about the fact that they are simply being scammed. There is mass scrutiny. Now, if you try and work in the Emirates or Saudi Arabia, of your background, you'll be heavily background checked. They do prefer British engineers because British engineers are much more easy to verify. But places like the Emirates, Dubai, and Saudi Arabia were not really able to mass import a technical class because, like I said, a huge amount of degree fakery is the problem. And that's what happens in Britain. Most of your kind of what the Americans would call H1B visa people happens in America too. But there's also the simple fact that even a real degree from an Indian university is not worth
the same as a
real degree from even a low class, like former polytechnic, British university. That is the stark fact that Britain and America, it do have, at least in a trust and verification sense, the premier education systems in the world.
Yes.
Britain has the premier education system probably in Europe. It's debatable whether Germany has some bits of it. Britain and Germany, let's say. And Britain and Germany cannot produce enough engineers for their own societies. It's the same with Japan. It's the same with, especially South Korea are having problems with it. It's the same with China. None of these places, nowhere, can produce enough engineers to satisfy domestic demand. So how are you going to import them?
Yeah.
How are you going to import them when there is a global engineer shortage? But anyway. And this is another one as well. The Baltimore schools who were failing simply cheated in many cases. In fact, very common. It gets a blind eye gets paid to it. But many of the educational achievements of inner city schools, it's quite funny, one of them was celebrated for its improvements and then promptly slapped down because they just cheated. And that, again, that's what happens. You don't get real engineers, you get fake engineers. Getting on to some of the discussion part now, we've got a little bit of time left. This illustrates a point that you made in that this is from a bit of research from, I believe, 2014, but it shows that the non-productive industries, media, entertainment, academics, online computer services, legal...
Oh, there we go, agricultural.
And then if you go to agricultural, there is a massive, massive conservative, in quotes, or what would be considered right-wing domination of the productive industries. Agriculture, building and construction, mining, oil, coal and gas.
Tobacco!
Real estate, banking and finance, hedge funds are a bit more. Lobbyists are actually completely split, it's kind of funny.
That would make sense though.
But if you get up, like the real productive industries, if you want oil, coal, gas, you want a building built, a pipeline made, if you want some crops grown, you're going to have to employ effectively people who are to the right of the mainstream right-wing parties in that country. It's something that you went into in the conservative given, which is that conservatives are given a space. I didn't think you explained it.
Well, yeah, it's just the basic notion that the, you know, as we said earlier on, if you are an incompetent regime, you know, and or what was the one that was in the article you were writing the other day, you know, in the age of absolute politics.
Yeah.
Technological incompetence is non-negotiable.
Yes.
You must be competent both at technique and its expression in technology itself.
Yes.
And for that, you need a class of people that are able to operate at that high level, and that high level of abstract thought. Now, there's only one group of people who can do that, as far as we know, and it is white men.
Generally,
so,
yes.
The regime needs competent white men to keep its basic comfort going. Either the food chain or bits of public health or keeping your home warm, or keeping the lights on. These people are required. And that is why there is still, no matter how far the leftists go, no matter how radical they get, there will always be the space for a nominally conservative culture about just going back to work and getting on with your job and paying your mortgage and making your car payments and sending your children to elite universities. Because that needs to happen and needs to continue to happen over time for progressive society to continue on. Otherwise, without it, the society we would live in is one that people from nowadays wouldn't recognise.
Well, Kony Current Year says, this stuff really puts things into perspective on why it's so important for me to leave this country. It's a race against time. The really, unfortunately, you know, we are seen as...
There is nowhere else to go.
There is nowhere to run. there really is nowhere to run. A lot of countries are being drained of their talent by America at the moment. But it is a global problem. And again, it's really why they can't just gas the conservatives. They would do if they could, but they can't.
Well, this is something I actually thought about earlier on, and we've covered it a little bit. If the low traffic neighbourhoods and the ULEZ regulations made the city centre of London commercially untenable, would that really be the worst thing in the world?
I believe that that is part of it. I actually believe that instead of making these more livable, this is an attempt to get people out of these kind of financial black hole pressure cookers. Please don't take my copium away. Like, that's what we are. We're the copium confiscators.
Yes.
We confiscate the copium.
This stream is regularly something akin to a sort of cold turkey from any copium.
There will be, we do not, there will be no cope here. This is a no cope zone. Thank you, Juh, for the $5.50 of Canadian money. I believe that's about a pound.
Yes.
Good example of a failing pipeline is the Trans Mountain Pipeline in Canada. I'm aware of that. Yes. It's a joint venture with an Italian company called Sycom and Ledcor. Yes, I do know about a lot of the failure to build pipelines, and part of that is cope with the natives and stuff, but they also just don't have the budget.
Yes.
In terms of they are spending billions of dollars to do nothing, and it becomes technically unviable. It's like the nuclear power plants I've talked about previously. I won't go over it too much in this, but there aren't enough engineers to build the supposed nuclear power plant a week. They're going to need in Britain to keep the lights on.
I see Spitfire 200 in chat. They're basically asking, you know, what do we do about this? Do we engage in sort of acceleration? Steel yourself.
Yeah.
Take all those around you who you think matter and are worth continuing on, and imbue them with the lessons of history before history rears its ugly head again, because it will.
As I encourage people in the article, I encourage people in the Substack post, I encourage you to read the Substack post as well once we're finished here, but go out and gain skills.
Yes.
Become, if you can, if you still can, become technically competent. We're not getting towards the end here. I see a few donations. I'll read those in a little bit because we have a bit to get through, really. There's a little point I wanted to bring up from The Technocrats, which is a little article that I wrote quite a while ago now. That's from October 2021. But it's the point that there is a fake kind of technical class and a real technical class. The ruling technocrats posit themselves as the thin paper line, like the thin blue line between you and the collapse of the world order. But in actuality, those people are not in power. The technocrats who are technocrats in government, the technocrats who are the ruling managerial elite, to use that term, are not the people who keep the lights on. There's a lot of cope that goes on that I believe is quite insincere. There's just one here from Bloomberg, just called Men Dropping Out of the Workforce Could Be Progress. It's just them basically saying, oh yeah, all that like arbitration process we're using is negatively impacting our societies. Here's why that's a good thing.
Hmm.
I do not believe anyone in any position of power would take this this stance earnestly.
Good absolute bugman faggot they have, yes, in the picture for this,
but,
as well.
But they have to celebrate these things because it is part of the arbitration process. And it's a discussion I wanted to have whilst we still have a little bit of time, is it's the push and the pull. You have stated that they would not deliberately fuck themselves over in terms of competent people. But if the only competent people they can find, as we've seen with the numbers there, the agriculture numbers, all of that, with what you wrote about in the Conservative Given, if all those people become an existential threat to the system, which do they choose?
Well, that's why there will be, that's why there will be, and we are already seeing it, a brewing conciliation for a subset of people from, yes, that class that they believe they can control. And I believe that this coincides very heavily with what we could refer to as like the technocratic revolt against collapse.
Yeah.
The sort of people who put their hands up maybe a year into COVID and said, this is insanity. We must return to commercialism and mass capitalism.
Well, this is why, really, as we kind of baited with the thumbnail, but the woke will have to go back in the bottle. You can't have Raytheon Pride anymore. You can't have, you know, the what I refer to in the piece as the DMVification of the American defense industry. They have actually reached a tipping point, especially with some of the stuff that's been leaked about Ukraine, whether it's true or not, that they can no longer assemble things like Javelin missiles. The German military especially doesn't have working equipment to the point that their defense minister had to quit. There is a huge amount of real-world data that shows that the industrial output of the collective West is a paper tiger.
Mm.
Almost in the same way that the British Empire in 1914 was a paper tiger. It has been hollowed out by its own hubris, and it has become so obsessed with the roundabout processes and attacking the naturally skilled leaders within its ranks that it has become rotted out to the point of nearly falling over under its own weight.
Yeah, it's like we replaced we had manpower, and then we replaced the manpower with technical proficiency, yeah, and now we've lost both.
The big problem is if you just put DMV workers in defense industry, no bombs will get built because they will be on day break. I'm on break. Please, you have to build Javelin missiles, Shanika. I'm on break.
Yeah, I ain't build no missiles. I broke my nails.
It's something I talk about, and there's a little piece I made called The Military Stimulus Complex, which is quite a short, it's quite a short read for people. It's one of our little short pieces.
But you're very much right that a lot of this is the consequence of several, you know, $100 million or $100 billion projects that ultimately are not aimed at providing either a profit or a product, but literally just making sure that money is circulated around an economy.
Well, as I keep saying, you know, an F-35 doesn't actually cost like $1 billion. Missiles don't actually cost $2 million each to make. It's the American military complex is a giant permanent socialist stimulus to the American economy. It is a. It is a monument to paying 1,000 people to do the work of 50 people.
Yes.
And it is a permanent way to guarantee that the American populace has well-paying technical jobs that they feel are meaningful. But all of these bloated budgets belie the fact that it is a lie, and it really produces nothing in the end.
But it's all right, though, because they've got Ben Shapiro-flavored pro feed to wash it all down with.
Well, I'll put this one on screen quickly as well, as we kind of somewhat close this one out, because we do try and make these Wednesday streams slightly shorter, but we have a lot of people here. And again, the discussion is the fact of that, yes, they will put the woke back in the bottle, but ultimately, and this is the fact we always try and drive home, is we don't want things to change because we feel like we should be in charge. It's not that we are like...
As much as that would be nice.
As, yeah, we aren't like actually weird power-hungry people. We believe...
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, we believe that there needs to be change, because without it, there will be collapse. And all of this is a great demonstration of that. The system itself has stopped being self-perpetuating. The main point of the Western managerial system is to perpetuate the mess of the managerial system and support the managerial class in the rule of the population. That is its basic function.
But so much of that is all predicated upon a very delicate and intricate system of mass production and mass consumption.
Well,
and when those two things fall apart,
yeah,
all the other things that rely on those things to function neither function themselves or provide no utility because they are supplementary to what was happening otherwise.
You cannot run an economy without skilled technical people in a technological society, but you also cannot maintain a regime like we have now whilst all those people effectively look like an ethnostate.
Mm.
It's, like I say, the biggest push and pull and the big thing about the diversity drives and the arbitration and the mass importation of foreigners is that the current elite recognize that if the people who keep the lights on and who de facto administer the country in a like physical labor sense, quite literally the people who own the means of production and who might not even own them, but who operate them. As you talk about, they are the they are the operator class. They are the almost the technological priests, as it were. If those people get wise to what's going on, then things get a bit weird really, really quickly. That's why you see, especially in quote-unquote STEM, all the focus on diversity. It's a cart-horse situation. They don't genuinely believe that brown people can be good or even, you know, tolerable engineers. They want to put people in those organizations to deliberately weaken them as a rival power center. But as they weaken them, they risk getting closer and closer and closer to the lights going off, to the whole thing falling down. And those two aspects are irreconcilable. Either they will allow themselves to be superseded by a competent class of people who will not enforce the outgroup rhetoric that they do, or they will allow the thing to collapse. Those are the two options, because the outgroup rhetoric of diversity and the in-group kind of incestuous nature of the current elite are irreconcilable with reality.
Yes.
As we keep saying and as we keep seeing, as when we talk, this is kind of us talking about technique in the way that we talked about race. This is just the reality. You cannot draw from a pool of illiterate Baltimore Negroes to create, Hellfire missiles.
No.
You can't train...
I think we should just leave that there.
Yeah.
We've got a quite sizable number of viewers once again this evening, so people must be rather enjoying the streams that we've been doing lately. So if they want to show that they have been enjoying them so much, please do like and comment and share and super chat and go to the PayPal and all sorts of things. And also,
I'm afraid I must have misplaced something there, because there it is.
And also, feel free to come along to our Nomos event on the 27th of May this year in Manchester. We have both a Telegram and a Discord group below for those people who would like to organise some sort of transport or accommodation for the weekend. The ticket price will get you a full evening in a private venue, two speakers booked out. One of the speakers, or the second speaker's interview, should hopefully be coming up on Friday, I would think.
Oh, yes. Don't worry, I will be reading the donations as well. Thank you for the donation, Glow in the Dark, a long-time supporter. Removing access to practical skills and education causes problems. Who'd have thought it? Only managers or educated people could believe that wouldn't happen. I don't think they do believe it won't happen. I think that they're stuck. They're stuck in a system they've inherited, having to battle rival power centers in which they are increasingly vulnerable to. Like I said, it's a no-win situation for them. The channel is pessimism with a positive attitude. I don't know if it is misquoting Spengler or not. What is it? Optimism is cowardice.
Yes.
I'm afraid reality is blackpilling, so I'm afraid that things may be, from your
I
perspective.
reject your reality and substitute my own, which is
Well,
much darker and
I don't
harder to
think things are
grasp.
blackpilled. Like I said, the way to survive this is to become technically skilled in the physical sciences. Like actually become competent.
Go become a metallurgist or someone who's
Yes.
proficient in machining.
If you can become something like a metallurgist, you will inherit the earth. Thank you for another $5,
Because you're
Glow in the
basically a
Dark.
magician.
Yes, imagine having to put effort into something to learn to get good at it. Again, the education system really does breed out of people the passion for learning. And it is very much, and again, it's just a big educational struggle session. It is to socialize you into the current order. That is the main point of it. And as it continues to the main point of it just continues to have the negative cycle. And as I said earlier, is there anything you would like to shill or finish on before we close out here?
Nothing directly comes to mind, though.
Well, thank you guys for coming. Do check out the links below. Do interact with the videos.
Give us some scrump waves in the chat,
Yes,
please.
yes. I'd like to finish on some scrump waves because I will be uploading some slightly experimental media in the coming days. And there will also be an upload tomorrow as well. There will be a speaker announcement.
I thought that was coming Friday, but.
Okay, not tomorrow. It's Friday then. There will be an upload on Friday with a speaker announcement for something you may be familiar with. For Nomos Manchester. So if you want to
Yes, I'm
get,
up like all the scrump waves
yes,
in the
if you want to get in
chat.
before the rush, do buy some tickets because I believe there may be most of the kind of half left going in the next coming days. But thank you guys for watching and good night.
Good night.
Man, we really have hit the algorithm or something.